echoing or... Tonight, actually, I told Pastor Bill what I was going to talk about, and it was 1 Kings, and if you remember, a few weeks ago, Bill talked on 1 Kings 13, and we got home that same day, and we had some questions in our minds about the false prophet thing, and we looked at that and why this guy would be a false prophet. But tonight, to start things off, I'd like to do some scriptures and kind of let everybody focus in their mind exactly some of the verses that I've been going through to get into 1 Kings 13. And I'd like to read the first verse would be 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The second scripture I'd like to share tonight would be 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I looked up today the definition of man of God, and and this is in 1 Kings 17:24. But the closest thing I could find to show what a man of God was, according to the word, it says, "A word of the Lord is in thy mouth." That was the closest definition I could come up with. The next verse I'd like to share would be Amos 3:7. I got to find these myself. I've got them all marked, but makes you think. It's hard to go through 66 books in your mind when you're up here. You have to kind of mark them. So Amos 3:7 says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets." The next scripture to get everybody thinking the same direction in a way is Hebrews 1:1. That says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." So now if we want to turn to 1 Kings Chapter 13. I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, Altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again." I would think it. Now, some of this stuff, you know, I've studied and looked at, and I try to come up with, am I rightly dividing the word of truth? Some things I can give her an opinion, but I don't believe in some cases that total opinion shows forth. Now, here I would agree that being that the king's hand, or Jeroboam's hand, withered up, that this man of God is speaking the truth. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand in the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up so that he could not pull in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of God, a word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was, it charged me, for so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Now we can all agree that the man of God knew what he was supposed to do. So he went another way, and went not, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, and the words which he had spoken unto the king, them that they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, and which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Now, we could speculate that the guy just wanted to lollygag and not get out of the country, but that would just be a speculation. It doesn't really say that that was the reason. It could have been he rested because he was tired. We don't know, really know. For it was said unto me, and he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet, thou also as thou art. This is the first place where he's called a prophet instead of a man of God. And I kept thinking about that. Okay, I believe that the word that he gave to Jeroboam was a true word from God. And if this other prophet is speculating that, then I can see where he comes up with that opinion. The thing is, then, I looked at this and I think, what is the reason that he wants this guy to come back with him? And so then I can speculate, is this a test? I think about that, is it or isn't it? And I can't help but think sometimes in our own lives, God will give us a test. He deals with us on a personal basis. And if you honestly know, and I can give you an easy example. Easy example in a test would be, your neighbor. You got a neighbor down the road, and he hurts himself. He's been unemployed for 3 weeks, and you believe that you're supposed to take them a basket of food. You really believe this and share with them or not share with them, whatever. Typically, if you don't have to swallow somebody with the gospel if you haven't talked to them and they've been a neighbor for years for a long time. But the thing is, you believe you're supposed to take them a basket full of groceries, and you do. You walk into their house, though. They're sitting at the table, and they got a ton of beer bottles sitting all over and everything. And you could have second thoughts about this. But what are you supposed to do? Your test is, God's, I believe, sent me with this bag of groceries for this family. Doesn't look at the condition or the situation or anything else. It's just what you feel you're supposed to do. That's just a simple test. So I look at this here that, what is this prophet? I am a prophet also as thou art. And he tells him he's a prophet. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So I look at this perspective then. What is the reason that this prophet would lie to him? Is it, so then I look at the fact, well, does this prophet have an interior motive? Is he trying to make a point with Jeroboam? And we can only speculate. It doesn't tell us for sure what his idea is, what his situation is. Is he just presenting this man of God a test? We don't know. But we do know two things. And I'm not saying that angels don't come to prophets or anything else. I'm saying here, I think he's lying about this angel coming to him. I don't think an angel come to him. And it says scripturally that he lied. So he went back with him, and he did eat bread in his house, and he drank water. Now, here is the thing. Did the man of God that came to Jeroboam know that he was not supposed to go back and eat and drink? He did know. But he did go back. Now, I look at this from another perspective too. This lie caused a man's death. It caused the man of God to be God's judgment. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy 18, verse 21 and 22. It says in Deuteronomy 18, verse 21, but if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Verse 22 says, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. And I thought about this scripture. And
we've been in the Lord a long time, and I may not be the brightest guy on the block, I know that.
But you learn things through God's teaching. And I know that there was a time, and there's been a lot of different tangents that have come about in the body of Christ, from false prosperity to name it and claim it to words of knowledge, and I got a word for you, and it was always God's word that straightens you out from any tangent. Now, I realized that this man of God, he had the old, I assume he had some of the old books or some of the scriptures that he could be knowledge of some knowledge, but he knew that he was supposed to do what the Lord had told him to do. Whether he had scripture to read or what, he still knew that. And sometimes in our everyday walk in life, it's always the word that always straightens us out. Every time that we had a different teaching or a different some kind of a thing, or somebody would come up to you and say, I believe that you should be on a mission trip to China. And my comment would always be, well, if you're hearing that, I'm not. Maybe you should be packing bags. You know, but it's God's word that lets you learn that type of stuff. It's like going to, Florida to see this glass on a building someplace that was supposed to be an image of Christ. If you want to see Christ, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there already. You don't have to go to Florida to find him. He's there. And so I look at some of these scriptures here, and then to go back in now to 1 Kings again, 13. It tells us what a prophet is. If he speaks a word, it shall come to pass. It also tells us, and if we go to Ephesians 5, 6. We come into Ephesians 5, 6. Says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let no man deceive you. So here it talks about prophet that has a false word, and it says has spoken it presumptuously. And here it says, if I let no man deceive you. There'll be deceivers in this world. There'll be testing in this world. There'll be situations that arise in every family in this world. And all these types of things, if you stay bound in the Word of God, you can see through these things. In 1 Kings 13, we'll go back to verse 18. So the prophet had lied to him, so he went back with him, and went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. You know, just because the prophet's a man, but just because a prophet is right in one situation one day doesn't mean that he doesn't have fault in another day. And I have to agree with Pastor Bill, because of the way this prophet heard and he lied, that it was a falseness, it was a false prophet. And now the word of the Lord did come unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and has not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hath eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass that he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he had gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Now I look at this, and I come to some conclusions. And the conclusion I come to was that the judgment was from God. The prophet spoke it, but the judgment was from God. And there's three different things that I see here that I believe, and the reason I believe that is that the lion stood, and it says in the next verse, and behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. The lion stood in the road, unusual circumstance. As we keep reading, the donkey stood there, and the carcass was not eaten. Typically, it's in a lot of situations, the lion kills somebody and then eats the carcass. Those three things did not happen. That I look at that as God's judgment. And God did this. It is not typical for a lion to stand there, the donkey to stand beside the lion, and the carcass to just lay in the road. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, Saddle me the ass, and they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God. And it laid upon the ass and brought it back, and the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him." Now, I look at all this stuff and I still think, now, here's a prophet that the Lord had used, and then he lied and caused this guy to, whether it was a test or whatever, but the guy ended up getting killed by God's judgment on him. And it makes me wonder, well, why then was there a motive behind this prophet? Was he truthfully the false prophet? He brought forth a false word, but then he brought forth a true word. And the other thing then I look at too was, we can't really come to a conclusion of, because it doesn't say what the motive was. It doesn't say it was just a testing. It doesn't say, but we do know that the man of God was supposed to do this and do that, and he didn't. So now we got the man of God's dead. And he laid his carcass, verse 30, in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar at Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass." I look back on this where in verse 18 where he says, "I am a prophet also as thou art." I believe that he sees this, that this word that was given to Jeroboam will come to pass. It's an interesting thing. We'd like to go to 2 Kings, verse 23, or chapter 23, verse 16. Okay, remember at the beginning of Kings 13, it said, "A man of God from Judah, by the word of the Lord, unto Bethel, Jeroboam stood in the altar and burned incense, and he cried against the altar. And he said, Behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." Now in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 16 and 17, it shows that this prophecy is true, came true, was true. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Then he said in verse 17, "What title is that that I see?" And the men of the city told him, "It is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel." And he said, "Let him alone, let no man move his bones." So they let his bones alone, and the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. So God, we look at God in the Old Testament in his judgment. That was usually carried out by them through the mouth of two or three witnesses, and it was carried out expediently. But because we have Jesus Christ that went to the cross, we have a better covenant. But there's also a warning throughout the New Testament. And the New Testament doesn't give us any more slack other than judgment's not always carried out expediently. But I know Apostle Paul noted that a lot of things, or some of the things he done, were not profitable to him. If we'd like to everybody to look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 30. And also, you know, if I said something that somebody doesn't agree with tonight, or can't see, or something, or, you know, I personally wanted to rightfully look at this stuff and try to see what's it actually saying, and is it a test? Is it that a guy is a false prophet? Is you know, how the Lord uses somebody in a situation. And try to oversee the whole picture. And so if there's questions, you know, and you got a question, or I said something that you can't agree with, or something, I'd like for you to tell me about it. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Let's see. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall ye he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people." You know, we have a New Testament. We have the Son of God that went to the cross for mankind. And you have teachings about you can ask Christ in your heart and never go to church and live your same old life, be Saturday Satan and Sunday Saint. Well, I don't believe that the once saved philosophy of do what I want and then at the last minute say, "Hey, it's me," because
We've got a job here to do on this earth. Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and do this or that or be a 7/24 preacher or something like that. What I'm saying is that when God deals with us in our lives, and we know to do the will of God, and Scripture will dictate to us. And I could use a simple thing. A simple thing would be, there's a scripture that talks about being unequally yoked. I believe it speaks in two things. It's both in marriage, and I also believe it speaks in partnership in business. And I could see it from both perspectives. God's word says that. So if we choose to do opposite, and we have a lot of conflict and testing and troubles, whose fault is it? Is it our fault? Is it God's fault? Or God, get me out of this mess? No. The word is very explicit in most every type of situation in life. And we don't have to have a Supreme Court tell us about marriage, husband and wife, man and woman. We know. And how do we know? Scripture. And that's all I have tonight to tell everybody. And the only other comment that I have is that, and I've thought of this a long time, and I've heard this a long time, is that man's strength is measured by God by his ability to say no to sin. That's your strength through Christ. And so I'd like to close this night. I just thank you, Lord, and I hope that I was able to present these things, Lord, from your scripture, Lord. It's not our summation of what we think or whatever, Lord, or how we see somebody or we don't see them. We know, Lord, that all your mankind are men, and we've all made mistakes. Your prophets made mistakes. You know, they done great miracles. They brought forth great word. But we've all had our situations, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that this night and this opportunity, I was able to be up here, Lord. But I also have to look at this word, Lord, and know that it affects my life. And it's your will. It's your want that we need to focus on. And I just thank you for that, Lord. Amen.